لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha entered Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world, it was said that the malaika were ordered, the angels, malaika ko hukum hua, they were ordered to take the attributes of all the previous Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e Izam and to give them to Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Yani, the attributes of the previous Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e Izam were not taken away from them, they still possessed them attributes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all the attributes, all the sifat of the previous Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e Izam into Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And that's why when we look at the birth of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, it's mentioned in the Quran that Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam was born without a father. And it says, كَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ, that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam was ordered to blow into Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, and she became carrying Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. So Sayyiduna Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke wo kuwari paak Maryam, wo nafakhtu fi ka dam, dam means to blow. Wo kuwari paak Maryam, wo nafakhtu fihi kadam, magar Amina ka jaya, wahi sabse afzalaya, koi tum sa kaun aaya. So Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most superior amongst all the previous Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e Izam. And this life that we have today is all a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man so that he could test us. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا in Surah Mulk. So this is all a test that we are living. And for that test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created evil and He created good. So this is all a war from the beginning of creation, a war between good and evil. And shaitan is the one who promotes evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Anbiya-i Kiram and Rusul-e Izam to promote good and fight against the evil of shaitan. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, it is narrated and recorded by many muhaddithin that shaitan at the birth of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried loudly and immensely. Because shaitan knew that no matter how much evil we have spread and made this the darkest age in history of man, now that bright light has come which will eradicate the evil that we have spread. And Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world. Now yesterday we heard that Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam grew up in Bani Sa'd in the house of Sayyida Da'i Halima radiallahu anha. And after, when he reached the age of 2, Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, she took the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah Mukarramah. And when she came to Makkah Mukarramah at the house of Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, she felt really upset that how can I now leave And how will I bear the distance and departure with Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? So she used an excuse that at that time when she brought Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 2 back to Mecca, many children were ill due to a virus that was circulating in Mecca Mukarramah. So she chose that as an excuse to ask Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha to take Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to her tribe, to the village, so that she could protect him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this sickness and this evil, or this virus that has spread and is circulating in Makkah Mukarramah. So Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, after spending a few days with her most beautiful and precious and special child, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she gives permission to Sayyida Halima to take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to her village. So Dai Halima radiallahu anha, she takes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Bani Sa'd. And now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freely walks, and he started exiting the house even from a year before that. So now he decided to go out with his foster brothers and sisters. So from amongst them was Sayyiduna Hamza, who was his foster brother because they were of similar age. So then he sought permission from Sayyida Halima that allow me to go out with them as well. So then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also started to leave the house. And these children used to go and graze the sheep. So they used to take the sheep and they used to graze them and they used to bring them back. So they used to go into the fields. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought permission to also leave and take the sheep with him and go with the children. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now given permission, and now he is 3 years old. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes out with the sheep to graze the sheep. And grazing sheep is from amongst the sunnah of the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rasul-e-Izam, the previous prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi wa sallam. It was their sunnah. And this was the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah gave this duty to the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rasul-e-Izam in their early age, so that they could learn and prepare themselves to lead the ummah that they were given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they had to learn to ensure that they could keep the sheep together, united together, and protect them from any sort of evil or wild animals that could have attacked them. So the Anbiya-i Kiram would do that in their early age, and so did Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the best of creation. Now when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the sheep to graze with the children, he in a very fast manner learned to graze the sheep and keep them together and protect them, up to the extent that it is narrated that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come out of the house of Sayyida Halima to graze the sheep, as soon as the sheep would see Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would start to form a line together like an army going out for battle. They knew that this was Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they would start forming a line and they would march in a manner that an army would march when they had been disciplined by the leader. And the sheep would not move until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past them. And when he walked past them, the sheep followed Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They wouldn't walk in front of him. This was the manner in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would graze the sheep. Then came a time, roughly at the age of 3 or 4, when once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left the home of Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, and he went with the children into the fields. And this is narrated in several ahadith. It is narrated in Bukhari Sharif. It is also narrated in Muslim Sharif. And the words in Muslim Sharif are narrated by Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anha. Before I mention this hadith, I just want to say that the Muhaddithin Kiram have said that this narration is so authentic in regards to this incident that it is wajib upon every believer to believe that this happened. So you can understand how important this incident is in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is from amongst the irhasat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went with the children and he was in the field, and suddenly Sayyiduna Hamza came running back home with his brothers and sisters. They came running home and they were full of fear. But let me tell you in the words of Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik what exactly happened, because he narrates directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Anna Nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam atahu Jibrilu wa huwa yal'abu ma'al ghilman." That Sayyiduna Jibril alayhi salam came into them fields where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with the other children. فَأَخَذَهُ. And Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam got hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَصَرِعَهُ. And he made the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lie down on the floor. And then Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, فَشَقَّى أَنْ قَلْبِهِ. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam opened his chest. So he cut open the blessed chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَاسْتَخْرَجَ الْقَلْبِ. And he removed the heart. Subhanallah, the beautiful, the most perfect heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. He removed the heart of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which is narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, فَاسْتَخْرَجَ عَلَقَةً مِّنْهِ. That he removed a clot of blood from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then said, وَذَٰلِكَ حَظُّ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْكَ. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is the part which shaitan could have manipulated. He could have exploited. Every person in their heart has this specific place which the shaitan manipulates and exploits by entering wasawis into that area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this removed from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show to the people that it is now impossible for the shaitan to enter any sort of wasawis into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this alaqah was the actual part which can be exploited, or which may potentially have been exploited or manipulated by the shaitan. And Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam was sent by Allah to have that removed from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, narrated by Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu, that thumma ghasalahu. Then they washed the blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi tastim min dhahab, in a tray of gold, in a gold tray that they had brought with them. Yani Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam brought from Jannah. Bima'i zamzam, with the water of zamzam. So they washed the blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then thumma a'adahu fi makanih. Then he placed it back into the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its place, and then he closed the chest and had it sewn. Now Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala says, yas'awna al-ghilman ila ummihi. That the children, they ran to their mother, yani Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, and they came and they said to Sayyida Halima that inna Muhammadan qad qutil, that indeed Muhammad has been killed. Because that's what they saw. They thought that Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been killed. Fastaqbiluhu, rush towards him, go and help him. So Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha says that I became completely scared and in awe, and I approached my husband Sayyiduna Haris, and we both immediately rushed to the hills where Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. When we reached there, we found that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down, muqtani'ul lawn, it says in Bukhari Sharif, that his the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had changed in color. He had changed in color. And they asked what's happened, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this narration that I just told you, that Jibreel alayhi salam came and washed the heart with the water of Zamzam. Now this happened, Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala became really worried, and she started consulting the people that lived in her village, and they started saying that maybe he has a jinn, or maybe he is affected by some evil. Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha would refuse that. She would refute that. She would say that it is not possible, for I know that this is such a blessed child. For you all have seen how blessed he is. It's not possible that he has been affected by evil. But they say that no, you must take him to a fortune teller, or an amil, or a kahin. Take him to someone who is an expert in these matters. So she decides to go to this kahin or this fortune teller, and he says to Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha that, is he from Makkah? And she says, yes, he is from Makkah. Is his father alive? And he says no. And she says no, his father had passed away before he was born. He says that, is there any redness in his eyes? And she says, yeah, his eyes have always got this slight redness. He says, does it ever disappear? He says, no. She said, no. That redness has remained from the first time I saw him until today. It doesn't go. That's remained there all the time. She says, when he walks in the pathways, is there a cloud that covers him? She said, yes. I have seen that all the time. So he says, in extreme anger, that you must give that child to us, for he must be killed. If he is not killed, then he will take over the whole of the Arab world, and he will destroy all the religions of our forefathers. Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha immediately leaves from him and says that, you have gone mad. She says that, you are the one who needs to go and see an amil or another kahin, and you need to go and take a ta'weez from somebody, because you have been mentally disturbed. And she leaves him, and she returns. And now she realizes that Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be kept away from the eyes of other people because of these evil ideas that people have. So then she decides to take Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah Mukarramah. So now she starts to travel towards Makkah. And while she travels towards Makkah, halfway between Makkah and from her village, she stops at this place and she leaves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this group of people that are present there, because she needs to go and relieve herself for one of her necessities. So she puts the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one place and she says, stay here, I will return in a moment. And she leaves. Now when she returns, she finds that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not there. Now she becomes extremely worried. She searches and she seeks for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she fails to find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now she starts shouting the name of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she shouts Ahmad and Muhammad, and she's looking for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now she meets this old man. This old man says to Dai Halima radiallahu anha, that who is this Muhammad that you are looking for? And she says that he is my child that I need to take back to Makkah Mukarramah. He is from the family of the Quraysh, from the leaders of Quraysh. Now this old man says that you must go to Hubal. Hubal is one of their great idols. According to them, great. He is an idol, and these people used to worship him. He says that he is the only one that can find your son. And Dai Halima radiallahu anha said that, no, I cannot go to Hubal, because I know that Muhammad hates, he severely dislikes idols, and he always expresses his dislikeness towards idols. So the idol will not be able to protect him. And not only that, she also said to him that, do you not know that when he was born, my child was born, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even Hubal had fallen on his head. So how can he help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha continues to search for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this old man goes to Hubal. He goes to Hubal and he says to Hubal that, oh Hubal, we have worshipped you, the Quraysh have worshipped you, the people of Makkah have worshipped you, and you have blessed the people of Makkah so much. Now I come to you to seek for this child Muhammad, who has gone missing. As soon as he says the word Muhammad, the name Muhammad, Hubal immediately fell down. Immediately fell down, and this man was shocked that how on earth, when I said the name Muhammad, with nothing that was disturbing the balance of Hubal, how did Hubal fall down? And at that point even he realized that there is definitely something special about this child Muhammad. Now there's two different narrations of how Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was found. In one narration it says that Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha returned back to Makkah, because Makkah was not far. She returned back to Makkah and she told Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone missing. Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala removed his sword from his house. He took his sword out and he thought that this was the work of some of the people of Makkah or the Jews, because of the words that had been spreading about Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is a special child that will eradicate the religion of the forefathers. He will take away the leadership in religion from the Jews and the Christians. So maybe it is one of these people. So he took his sword out, he went to the Kaaba and he called the people, and when the people gathered around him, because he was known as the leader of Makkah, he was the keeper of the Kaaba, so they all respected him. When they all came, he said to them that whoever dare take my son Muhammad, he must return him. Otherwise I will start using the sword and the people of Quraysh on my command will start killing you all. You must give my son back to them, to me. They all refused and they all express their innocence that we have not taken your child, we have not seen him. So then Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu started to do tawaf of the Kaaba with his clothes. He would always respectfully do tawaf of the Kaaba with his clothes on. And then he made dua to Allah that, oh Allah, show me where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. And a voice from the unseen came that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever be misguided. He will not ever be misguided. He will not lose his path. He will not get lost. So Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib asked this voice. He asked this voice from the unseen that then where is Muhammad? And the voice from the unseen said that he is in the hills of Tihama, under in the shade of a tree that is in the hills of Tihama. Immediately Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu rushed towards the hills of Tihama. On the way he meets Waraqa bin Nawfil. Waraqa bin Nawfil is the uncle of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. He was an expert in the books of Judaism and the books of Christianity. He was an expert of them books. He meets Waraqa bin Nawfil, and Waraqa bin Nawfil goes with Abdul Muttalib to the hills of Tihama, and they find the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happily relaxed in the shade of this tree. That's one narration. And then Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib brings the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back into Makkah. The other narration says that Abu Jahl, who later became the biggest enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam, he was returning to Makkah from a journey that he had left Makkah for. He was returning to Makkah on his animal. It was a horse or a camel, I can't remember the narration. So when he was returning, he came upon Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recognized that this is the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. So then he took Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam onto his ride, and he brought the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Makkah to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. Now those who have narrated this, they have also said that in Surah Ad-Duha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى, it is an ishara towards this incident. So it's a narration. Some of the Mufassireen have mentioned that that verse indicates towards this, that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his way to Makkah with Sayyida Halima radiallahu anha, and Sayyida Halima had lost sight of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you back to Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala an. Whether it was through Abu Jahl or whether it was through Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib through the voice of the unseen, it doesn't matter. One of the two narrations. Now a person may ask, that how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that I guided you, that Allah guided you, when it was Abu Jahl that was used as the means? The simple answer to that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in true essence is the one who makes everything happen. Not even a leaf moves from its place without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything happens with the will of Allah. We are simply the metaphorical means of making things happen. We have been given that ikhtiyar, but we can only use our ikhtiyar when the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins our will. Does that make sense? Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly said, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ, that when Allah guides someone, nobody can misguide that person. But who in reality, who majazan, metaphorically, who are the people that guide? It is the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Rusul-e-Izam. So in true essence, it is Allah who guides, and majazan, metaphorically, it is the Anbiya-i Kiram and the Ulama-i Kiram and the Naibin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who guide people. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ, and whoever Allah misguides, nobody can guide. So in essence, it is Allah who misguides the people. But who? Majazan, it is the shaitan. It is the evildoers. So there's no harm in that. Now when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to Makkah Mukarramah, he now starts to live amongst his family in the Quraysh. Now Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala gets to spend time with her special child. Now when he reaches the age of 6, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha takes the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Madinah Munawwara. In Madinah Munawwara, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha resides in her father's home. So the maternal grandparents used to live in Medina for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, when she takes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina, the Medina Munawwara at that time had many Jews that resided in Medina. So these Jews, when they saw Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would stare at him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself narrates this. So when after Hijrah, after the Alan of Nabuwa, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved to Medina Munawwara, he would remember this journey that he did with his mother, and he lived in Medina for a short period with his mother. He used to remember that, and he used to tell the Sahaba Ikram that when I went with my mother when I was 6 years old, I started to go out in the streets of Medina. At that time it was known as Yathrib. I started to go out in these pathways, and I would see that the Jews would stare at me, and in this evil manner they would stare at me, and some of them would come to me and they say, "What is your name?" And I would say that my name is Ahmed, and they would say that, "Are you from Makkah?" And I would say, "Yes, I am from Makkah." And they would say that, "You know, your eyes are red. Why are your eyes red?" And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I tell them that they've always had this slight redness. And then they'd want to see my back. And I was 6 years old, so I would say, okay. And then they'd see the mohr of Nubuwa. And then they would start telling each other that Nubuwa has been taken away from the Bani Israel. And this man will one day come back to Medina with an army, and he will migrate to Medina, and then he will take an army from Medina and then take over Makkah. And these type of things people started spreading. And Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha, she took Umme Ayman with her. Umme Ayman was the slave woman that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received from his father, the first woman that fed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her name was Baraka. I mentioned yesterday she was also with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says that sometimes Jews would come to our doorstep where we were staying with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would ask to see Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would come inside the home and they would ask these questions. And when Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha was informed that this is what was happening, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha immediately said, "We need to pack up and leave Medina." So they packed up and they left Medina Munawwara. So on the way back to Makkah Mukarramah, they came to a place called Abwa. At this place, Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha became ill. She became unwell. And at one time, she was in the lap of Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he is 6 years old, and she fainted. After she fainted, she woke up. And when she woke up, she said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said that now I have become old. And everybody must die at one time. And she said to him that you are a blessed child. And after I die, remember my words, that my name will never be forgotten, because I know that I have given birth to a special and a pure child. So my name will never be forgotten. And then she proclaimed the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then she passed away. So Sayyida Amina radiallahu anha passed away whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only 6 years old. We can imagine how hard it was for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his father had passed away before he was born, and now at the age of 6, his blessed mother had also passed away. Now there is ikhtilaf amongst the ulama kiram whether the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were believers and will go to Jannah, or they were not believers. The ulama mutaqaddimeen had the opinion that they did not accept the correct faith. However, it is now clear, according to all the ulama mutaakhirin, great scholars have written extensively on this. People like Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti radiallahu anh have written several rasail on this topic. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala anh has, Allama Ibn Hajar has, Imam Qustalani has, Imam Aini has, many ulama kiram have, many great muhaddithin aimma kiram have written on this topic, that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all believed in one Allah. They believed in one Allah. They were muahideen. And therefore, they were on the same faith as Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. And they had passed away before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood. So before he announced his prophethood, they passed away believing in one Allah. And therefore, they were successful and they will go to Jannah. That is the opinion of the ulama mutaakhirin. There is also narrations that after the i'lan of Nubuwwah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested the Prophet Muhammad, requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go and visit the grave of his blessed mother and his blessed father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him permission. And when he was granted permission, he went to the grave of his parents and he requested that, oh Allah, how great would it be if I could see my parents alive? And Allah granted him that wish. And his parents were given life after death. And they came out of their graves and they accepted Iman upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went back into their graves. And these narrations are present. They have been narrated by the Aimma Muhaddithin, the Aimma Kiram. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti has written extensively on it. If anybody wants to see any adilla on this, any dalail and evidence on this, they can look towards the Fatawa Razviya of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu anh, because when he lifted his qalam on this, when he lifted his pen on this matter, he closed the chapter and clearly proved and answered all objections that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were either muwahideen, and if not, then they accepted Islam when Allah gave them life after death. And this is not impossible, because now we are not talking about an ordinary man. We are talking about the man who was given the greatest powers by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who could make it rain whenever he want. If Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam could give life to a man who was buried in his grave, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without doubt could give life to somebody who had been buried in his grave. Not only the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a group of people came to Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, Al-Ghawthul Azam. And they said to Sayyiduna Ghawthi Azam that we are debating with this priest. And this priest is saying that in our books it says that the last prophet when he comes, never mind his power, even the awliya-i kiram of his ummah will have the powers and the miracles that the previous prophets had. And my prophet Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, he used to bring the dead back to life from their graves. Never mind your awliya-i kiram, I have never seen that your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to do this. I've never seen any narration. And we've been debating this. We've tried to show him narrations that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did do this. We've shown him, but he doesn't accept them narrations, and he says they are weak. So Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says to that priest, that what if I bring the dead back to life? Will you accept it then? So Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, when he said this, he said, if you bring the dead back to life, then I will accept without doubt, and I will accept the kalima and accept Islam and leave the previous religion. So Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala said, you choose which qabristan you want to take me to. Which graveyard do you want me to bring the dead back to life from? So he says, from this specific graveyard. So then they leave. They all go on this big kafla that follows them. And they come to this graveyard. They enter the graveyard, and Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says to this Christian, show me which grave you want me to bring the dead back to life from. And he says that there is this grave, and he chooses the oldest grave that is there. And this man is roughly more than 500 years old, buried in this grave. So he, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala, comes to this grave. And he looks at this grave and he says to the Christian, what words did Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam use when he brought the dead back to life? So this priest says that when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam brought the dead back to life, he would say, Qum bi'idhnillah, come to life by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says, that do you want me to bring him back to life in his coffin, like he was buried, or do you want me to bring him to life in the profession, engaged in his profession that he used to be engaged in when he was alive? He says, bring him back in the profession that he used to be engaged in his life, then that would be an even more amazing miracle. So then he says, okay. So Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam used to say, Qum bi'idhnillah. So then Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani looks at the grave. And he says, Qum bi'idhni, stand in my hukum. Stand by the hukum of mine. And suddenly the grave rips open. And this man exits the grave with a drum in his hand. And he plays the drum and he starts playing this music. At that point, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani radiallahu ta'ala says to him, now do you understand? And he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So if the awliya kiram of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam could bring the dead to life, then why could Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam not bring his blessed parents back to life and give them iman and then place them back into their grave? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to accept the true aqidah of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and accept that the parents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were both believers. Now after this, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is brought back to Mecca by Sayyida Umme Ayman, yani Sayyida Baraka radiallahu anha. And now he sallallahu alaihi wasallam lives in the kifala of his uncle Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala an. And what happens in his life in Mecca Mukarramah, inshallah, we will talk about tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.